Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit DetectTheSOS.com to learn more.
Me. You suck!
Well, we hope to. Or I should say, I hope to. Even more, it's solo suckage. Mark Grody is on the sidelines of Soldier Field. Or Soldier Fields. Is that how you say it now? Bears, Bills, quarterback matchup nobody wanted to see. Andy Dalton, Mitch Trubisky. So I'm doing Saturday Suckage solo. Steve Rosenblum here. Thank you for listening. We'll take you up to Cubs pregame, 12:45, and Cubs Royals at 1:20 this afternoon. So this began, as I introduce our next guest, this began reading an answer on Twitter. And I don't know what coach started this. I don't know what comment started this, but the Twitter question was, what's the most disrespectful thing a coach said to you? My next guest tweeted, after we lost a game, our coach told us it was his fault. His fault for recruiting us. Sean Berry is the man who tweeted that. Sean, thank you for joining me today. I appreciate that.
Absolutely, Steve. Good to be here.
I got such a kick. It sounds like a college thing. Like, did a college coach say that? Unless it probably gets private high schools recruit. I'm not sure where it was, and I don't want you to feel bad indicting somebody, but I wanted to know at what level a coach would say that to a baseball player.
It was college, and it's okay. We can say that. I've been to went to three colleges, so we at least give a little bit of chance on who it was, but. Yeah, that was said after a loss, and it was, I think we were playing like Vanderbilt or something, so, you know, the top team in the country, and he was yelling at us, and we got the, yeah, hey, you know what, guys, this is my fault. He was always about the fake ownership, and hey, it's my fault, guys, my fault for recruiting you, and we all laugh about that to this day. It was a good time.
I was going to ask if that still carries on, but what at the moment, did you look at each other? Were you laughing at the moment? Did he laugh, or was he serious as it was in you guys lollygag? What do we call those guys? We call them lollygaggers. I mean, was there a certain seriousness about that response?
He was always serious, and we always kind of said it was like Michael Scott coaching us sometimes. We got good at being quite, you know, we weren't going to laugh, but you learned how to bite both your cheeks so you wouldn't laugh during the intense post-game speech.
Oh my God. That's excellent. Sean Berry is my guest. He's on the Scores Hotline. It's presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. So I read the response. I had no idea who Sean Berry was. So I went down and started the Google machine and went down baseballreference.com, as it turned out. And he's born in Thousand Oaks. And I go, hey, that's not too far. I'm a Valley guy. I was born in the San Fernando Valley. I said, okay, now where do we go from here? Well, as it turns out, he was drafted by the Cubs and pitched in the Cubs organization. And I guess in another world, Sean, you might be given a chance to start a game this year, and the way things are going, you still might. So you were drafted by the Cubs. Catch people up with your career, because I'm still climbing out of this rabbit hole that I find quite wonderful, and there's more to it than this.
Yeah, so I was drafted in 2017. And good story there. You know, the day after the draft, I went out in San Diego with some of my buddies, bought a Cubs hat. We were all kind of celebrating. And, you know, obviously that was the year after the Cubs won the World Series. And so I'm in the bathroom, and some guy comes in a Cubs jersey. And he's like, hey, he was hammered. And he's like, hey, you a Cubs fan? And I was like, sure. You know, I am now, right? And he goes, you know, lifelong or just recent? And I was like, well, just recent. He goes, effing bandwagon. He yells at me. And
wow.
And I was just laughing. I just let him have it and whatever. But also, despite that, man, Cubs fans are the best, and they are everywhere. You know, we played all over the country. I've traveled all over the country. I'm actually in Denver now living. And they're everywhere, and Cubs fans are awesome. It was a great team to get drafted to with all the history. And then, yeah, of course, you know, right after the World Series there, it was a great time.
So who were some of your teammates that Cub fans would know as you came up through that pipeline from 2014 through 2019?
So, actually, interesting enough, today he's making his debut, at least as a starter, is Keegan Thompson. Was my roommate for a few weeks when I was rehabbing my shoulder in 20, what would that be, like 18? So Keegan Thompson for sure. Then a lot of guys that are, you'll be hearing a lot about in the next few years, but you know, the Brennan Davises, Cole Franklin was with me a little bit. We weren't actually teammates, but just through spring training. But Brennan, you know, Cole Roederer was one of those guys, Delvin Zinn, a lot of guys that'll be, you know, hopefully making their debut in the next, you know, year or two, and ton of awesome baseball players, ton of awesome people, and they deserve the world, and really looking forward to watching them the next year or two.
My guest is Sean Berry, pitcher previously in the Cubs organization, right-handed, throws right, bats right, and if he could be so Shohei Ohtani, he would be doing everything right. You're a pitcher, and you watch that. What are you, as a pitcher, as a guy who tried to get up to the majors, Sean Berry, what do you think when you watch what Shohei Ohtani does?
Just unbelievable. I mean, we haven't seen anything like him since Ruth, right? I mean, what was that, almost 100 years ago? And just unbelievable. I mean, I'll you know, be confident in my pitching abilities and everything, but I'll be the first one to tell you I don't even know what to do with a bat in my hand. And for a guy like that to have a, you know, 2-something ERA and hit 40 home runs and lead the bigs right now, that's unprecedented and absolutely unbelievable. He's a joy to watch and just a marvel in the sports world for sure.
So the knock on the Cubs development system, you were part of that. You were trying to work your way up. You got as high as South Bend in 2019. It was, they were unable to develop pitchers to bring to the major leagues. Now, you mentioned Keegan Thompson. He's an example. Braylon Marquez is one of the top 100 prospects, according to MLBpipeline.com, and that you were part of that. How do you evaluate how you were handled, how the Cubs handled pitchers, or what, when you hear that criticism, when you see the most successful pitcher from the Cubs system is pitching for the White Sox and throwing six innings of two-hit ball, Dylan Cease, what do you think when you hear that, having experienced it and lived in the Cubs organization?
I think they're turning the corner, and or maybe have turned the corner, and are, again, much better than other teams. I think you see with all the new school baseball, with the tech and some of the data analytics that's out there now, you see the early adopters of that are the more successful teams now. Of course, I hated it just because of the cheating aspect of it, but I hated, the Astros doing that because they were doing it. It overshadows all the good that they were doing. They were a team that were an early adopter. I mean, we all know what, 6-7 years ago, they were terrible. And they really bought into all the new school stuff. You can put the Twins, the Rays, I mean, they'll make good strides. And then even the Reds, after hiring Kyle Bodie from Driveline for their pitching analytic department, it'll be interesting to see. And the Cubs are turning that corner now with Brendan Segarra. I think they hired one more guy after I left as well. But they're buying into more of the tech stuff, and you're seeing the benefits now. I think some of the criticisms early on is if you don't have all that tech stuff, it's hard to corral whatever we have, 100 pitchers, and really get personal with each one. But now with all the tech that's coming out, you can give each guy a plan, tell them what they need to work on. The Cubs, my second year, added the pitching lab where you can get the Edgartronic cameras and get all the, just the tech in there. And that's why you're seeing that now with the Justin Steeles, the Keegan Thompsons that are coming up, Tommy Nance, some of those guys, and you'll continue to see it because we're buying into that new school baseball. I'm a big believer in it. And the stuff that pitchers can do nowadays with regards to pitch design and tunneling and just getting more pitches up to MLB snuff is paramount. And using tech to get there is the way to go. And that's why you'll start seeing these Cubs prospect pitchers really start to shine now. And that's something that we weren't able to do, as you said, the last maybe 5-6 years.
So the spin rate's accelerated, and now you look at pitchers the way you used to look. Every hitter, because baseball created the situation, every hitter who has a wonderful year, maybe Shohei Ohtani, you look at somebody go, wow, look at what he's doing, and it's got to be steroids. And every hitter gets to deal with that, gets to have that cloud over him because baseball didn't do anything about it. And then you look at pitchers cheating, and whatever belt checks, hat checks, whatever they're doing now, suddenly the sticky stuff is gone. Did you see examples of that? You knew guys were cheating, and did you face the question, I gotta rub this up, I gotta use tack, I gotta use whatever they're doing, my spin rate has to get better, I gotta do this because this is my career? Did you face that? Did you do it?
Yeah, I never faced any of the steroid stuff. I'm sure guys were, but it's not something you talk about. But the sticky stuff's interesting because I'm a believer in, pine tar, a little sunscreen, rosin, because those balls do get pretty slick. And that's something that, everyone might like to have a little, in case of emergency, you're sweating a little too much, the ball does come back slick. That's something you want. I think that's something hitters want as well, just a little bit. But where it does get a little fishy is when, there's stuff made in the lab, like you mentioned, spider tack, pelican grip, things like that. That changes a pitcher's whole entire profile. If you're adding 300-400 RPMs to a slider or curveball, like, that matters, right? And so that's where I think baseball can be a little bit better at that, but I do think they should have cracked down in the offseason and made a little bit better, more defined rules than just no sticky stuff. I mean, you saw the Tyler Glasnow injury, and yeah, guys might have to squeeze a little bit more than they're used to making this change midseason, and you could see an uptick in injuries. It's not this year, maybe leading into next year, just after the repetitive, a little bit extra stress there. But yeah, I am a believer in a little bit of stick, just for a little command. I didn't use it too much, not because I'm, it was some moral high ground, but I was a low spin rate guy, and I wanted to keep my spin rate low with my cutter, so it was more advantageous for me to keep it low to, induce a little bit more ground balls. But you see it, but it's incredibly normal. I'd say before the crackdown, man, I don't know, 80-90% of pitchers are using some form of something because it's just the culture. It's just kind of what you do. I don't think anyone really thought of it as getting an advantage. It was more so, like I said, just that little bit extra control, more so than spin rate.
If you ain't cheating, you ain't trying, right? Isn't that the said and unsaid mantra? So your career ended in 2019 after a season at South Bend. And then part of my rabbit hole with Sean Berry involves finding out not unlike Ian Happ, who might or might not have been a teammate of yours at some time, you end up in the coffee business, part of RAK Coffee. So explain how that happened, and I really like the and explain the emphasis of RAK Coffee and what you're trying to do for humanity.
Yeah, no problem. So it all starts, I come from just a stinking unbelievable family. My parents are the most generous people I've ever met in my life. We have people live with us for, you know, years, and actually the best, you know, epitome of my family is my mom's grandma, you know, 3-4 years ago was 90-something, and, you know, had a live-in nurse with her, and just, you know, normal run-of-the-mill nurse, but she was awesome. And her parents are from Mexico. She was kind of stuck in you know, that cycle of, you don't know if poverty is the right word, but somewhere in there. And my parents, when they moved to Boise, and my, you know, my grandma passed away, and they moved to Boise shortly after, and they told that nurse, she was 20, maybe 5 or 6, and said, hey, if you move, you can come to Boise, you can come live with us, and we'll pay for your nursing school. We want you to, you know, help you get out of that cycle. And who does that? You know, just for someone that they knew for maybe 4 or 5 months, just saying, hey, come live with us for, you know, a few years. We'll pay for your nursing school and then go off and live your life and go kind of change the trajectory of her life. So that's my parents, and that's what I came from. So I always kind of knew, I almost, you know, almost felt like I had a responsibility to do something like that and give back. So my original thought was to, you know, start some sort of nonprofit, and that's a lot of people, members of my family, my cousins started a nonprofit called Build a Miracle, where they built over 400 like American standard quality houses in Mexico. They help kids go to school. They help kids learn English, music, computer tech, everything. It's one of the most unbelievable life-changing things you'll ever see. So that's where I came from. I also knew I wanted to start something like that. And then I was reading the book by the guy that started Tom's Shoes, and he was like, hey, you don't have to start a nonprofit, start a, you know, for-profit business and do good with it and market that good and make people feel good about the purchases that they're doing in their everyday lives. So that's where I started to kind of pivot. You know, I'm a finance major and like the business aspect of things. And so that was in my mind. So I just wrote a coffee business plan. When I went to school in San Diego, I fell in love with kind of the specialty coffee culture and, you know, the beans and the whole thing. And then in spring training, when I went early to rehab my shoulder, not a lot of people were there in the Cubs org, didn't know a lot of people in Phoenix. So I just started going into coffee shops, making friends with people and the whole thing. And a guy by the name Ron Cortez owns Cortez Coffee in Phoenix. And just made friends with him, was talking, and everything was good. And when I showed up next spring training, he's like, hey, I want to start a coffee company with you. You know, I'd mentioned to him that I had interest in it and wanted to do it. And I said, heck yeah, let's do it. So we're just online. And I think on our website, we say we donate 20% of profit or something, but we donate everything. We don't take a dollar from it. Then yeah, it's a good way to kind of, you know, I wanted to build some sort of machine that can kind of self-sustain and kick out money for people that may need it. And so right now we're partnered with 3 nonprofits. One of them is, like I mentioned, that Build a Miracle. And recently we, with the help of actually Christian Yelich, I know he's with the bad guys over there in the Brewers, but with the help of him, he donated like a signed jersey. He's from my hometown area and good buddies with his little brother, and Christian, I used to work out at the same gym. But, We you know, with our first few months coffee sales and with him donating that signed jersey, we auctioned that off. We're actually able to insulate this classroom for these children in Mexico that were, you know, the roof was all jacked. It wasn't insulated. So when it gets real hot down there, it's real hot. When it gets cold, it's real cold. And we're able to help them out a ton. So that was awesome. And then we're also partnered with Forever Found, which is, they deal with former sex traffic victims and help them kind of, you know, rehabilitate and go hopefully live a great life after that. So they, you know, they pull them out, rehab them, and get them back into the world. So we're partnered with them. And then the last one is Progression Athletics International. My brother-in-law runs that. It's working with kids in foster homes and just kind of using the power of sports to, you know, inspire a little. And, you know, we go and we hang out with the kids and just tell them that somebody loves them out there. And and it's awesome. So those are the three we're partnered with. Every bag that we sell about $3-4, again, pretty much all of our profit goes to one of those three. And that's where we're at right now. We're still a little small time, still online, but I'd love to open a brick and mortar one day and hopefully partner with that Forever Found and have some of those former, sex traffic victims be able to get some agency in their life and have a job, put something on their resume, get back to normalcy a little bit before helping them out and getting them back in the world.
Sean, it all sounds terrific. And again, a big heart carrying on a family tradition. So the name of the company and the web address for anybody out there who might have missed it the first time. Share that with us.
So we call ourselves just Rack Coffee. Like you mentioned, it's RAK, and that's just random act of kindness, because that's exactly what we're here to do. And we want to make, again, when you buy our coffee, it's stinking excellent quality coffee. That's what I have every morning. And we sell in the full. Well, I got to plug it a little bit here, Steve, right?
No, go for it, dude.
Right. We sell full pound bags, which you'll get a little more bang for your buck there. But we want people to feel a part of. It's something, if everybody drinks coffee every single morning, and why not be a part of something awesome with your purchase, spend a few extra bucks on better quality coffee and help people out in the process. So it's rakcoffee.com.
rakcoffee.com, random act of kindness. That's outstanding. Sean, it was great. Thanks. I'm glad I came across your wonderful Twitter answer, and then you just proved to be more and more interesting. And I thank you for your time, and I wish you good luck with this project.
Awesome. Thanks, Steve. I really appreciate it. Appreciate you having me on. Good luck with everything.
All right. Thanks. Appreciate it. That is Sean Berry. I didn't know. Started doing some research. Found out, former Cub. Wow. Oh, look at that. That was great. Random Act of Kindness. That's the name of the coffee company is a part of. And you heard who they help out with money that comes in from their coffee being purchased. So that was that. We're late. I'm late. Not we. I can't have no one to blame it on. I'm late. I'm going to take a break. When I come back, I had an idea. I wanted to try a different segment. So this is Saturday Suckage. We will hope that the next segment really sucks. I think we're capable of that, me and Brandon Fryer, who's my producer. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Welcome in, welcome back. So here's your update. There was Mark Rohde tweeted out. Mark Rohde is at the Bears game, so this is solo suckage until 12:45, and Zach Zabin will take over Cubs pregame. Cubs baseball 120 against the Royals today. Mitch Trubisky received light applause. There were some boos. And then Mitch Trubisky took the Bills 72 yards, 10 plays, into the end zone on the opening drive. Devin Singletary ran 14 yards for a TD on 4th-and-1 because Robert Quinn couldn't keep the edge on 4th-and-1. So, there you go. Mitch Trubisky is stinging. He was 5 of 7 on the drive, 53 yards, and he's stinging the Bears defense. And Robert Quinn is just continuing to be awful. All right, updates as misery warrants. I said I wanted to try something, and this seemed like the opportunity, solo suckage. So I wanted to workshop a new bit today, a new segment, and if it doesn't work, well, then welcome to Saturday Suckage. Anyways, this is called I'll Hang Up and Listen for My Answer. Tevin Jenkins needed surgery and might not play all season for a team desperate for anyone who can even say the phrase offensive tackle. But would it be an official draft if Bears GM Hayden Ryan Pace didn't trade up for someone who can't play at all? I'll hang up and listen for my answer. Will the White Sox build a statue of Lance Lynn's belt? I'll hang up and listen for my answer. The Bears' choices for offensive tackle are dangerously young, dangerously old, dangerously bad, dangerously inexperienced. Is this how it works when Bears GM Hayden Ryan Pace and coach Matt Nagy collaborate? I'll hang up and listen for my answer. New Cubs pitcher Adrian Sampson called the competition among Cubs scrubs Game of Thrones-esque. But wouldn't it be more accurate to call it Game of Clowns? I'll hang up and listen for my answer. Should the Bears' offensive tackles be sponsored by the Chicago Skyway? I'll hang up and listen for my answer. What does Javon Wims do for a living? I'll hang up and listen for my answer. Could the cost of the Cubs' new team Hall of Fame have been better used toward re-signing a good player? I'll hang up and listen for my answer. If Nagy wanted a Bears camp where the defense is creating turnovers every day, then wouldn't Trubisky still be the quarterback? I'll hang up and listen for my answer. Will Nick Foles get booed worse than Mitch Trubisky today? I'll hang up and listen for my answer. Which will be worse for Bears GM Hayden Ryan Pace? Trubisky failing as a third stringer for the Bills, thus underscoring Pace's utter lack of credibility at the game's most important position? Or Trubisky developing into a smart and accurate quarterback, thus underscoring Pace's utter lack of credibility in making a coaching hire in a league that demands offensive brilliance? I'll hang up and listen for my answer. That's it. That's how I hang up and listen for my answer. Thank you for suffering through it. Thank you for being part of Saturday Suckage. That's what Saturday Suckage is all about. And so this text here, we're all Request Radio. Listening for his answer is my former boss, Mike Kellums, who's taken Johnny Baseball to, you're taking the Cubs game? Cubs Royals? Wait, isn't there a rule against that? Why? Why do you want to subject him to that? All right. Well, enjoy. The Cubs, by the way, playing the Royals today, but next year they'll be playing the Reds in the 2022 Field of Dreams game. It'll be on August 11th. This is wrong on so many levels. But it's typical baseball. It's I'm firmly of the belief, firmly in the camp, that this is a White Sox game. I'm firmly in the camp. It was suggested last week by my Trader Joe's freezer guy, Joey Ice. This should be the White Sox baseball's version of the Thanksgiving games, like Dallas and Detroit. Good or bad, suck or not, whether you want to watch them or not, they host that game. And the White Sox were the team that, well, through the World Series, and here they are getting heroes because Tim Anderson ended the Field of Dreams game like it was the natural. The home run and the fireworks. And as it turns out, the opponent for one of the Cubs opponent is the Reds. The Reds were the team to whom the Black Sox threw the World Series in 1919, the Field of Dreams and all of that, Shoeless Joe and everything's based around. So the White Sox should be the permanent host. And wouldn't the Reds be the perfect second opponent? Because that's the team to whom the White Sox threw the World Series. We'll get all the Heine Groh and Greasy Neal information. I don't want any other team moving in there. I hate MLB. When it comes to thinking Rob Manfred's an idiot, then I guess I'm going to have to take a ticket and wait in line a long time. But I just think it's a White Sox game. It's a White Sox label. Anyways, I just think, and there are the Cubs playing the Reds. And it should be the White Sox-Reds. Do the 1919 World Series all over again. That's the way it should be. The Cubs. Are they going to have Zach Davies next year? Oh, my God. You knew the Cubs quit when they traded Yu Darvish. So in December, they quit on this season. Just took them a little longer to get away trading everybody else you wanted to root for. So after yesterday's game, Cubs lost 6-2. Davies has these splits for opponents' production each time through the order. The first time through the order, opponents are hitting 210 against him, a 686 OPS. Second time through the order, 260 average, 774 OPS. A little higher on both. The third time, opponents are hitting 412 against Zach Davies. The OPS is 1.138. That's a Hall of Fame OPS. So that pattern held against the Royals. The Royals had never hit five solo homers in a game. They did against the Cubs. So there were homers in the fourth, in the fifth, in the sixth innings. And that's what the Cubs traded for when they quit, when they traded Darvish. So before I go, thank you for listening to Solo Suckage. Let me leave you with this. According to TYC Sports, an Argentinian subscription channel, Michael Jordan has made over $7 million in 2 weeks because of Leo Messi. Air Jordan manufactures jerseys for Paris Saint-Germain, Messi's club. MJ gets 5% cut of the club's shirt sales. Messi's kits have already pulled in over $100 million. Like I've always believed, in life, Michael Jordan won the toss and elected to receive. Thanks for listening to Saturday Suckage. Cubs baseball is next on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
It wouldn't have been possible if we weren't here to be told how much we suck. So, kudos to you guys for sucking as bad as we do.
Oh, yes. Wait a minute, Mr. Postman.
Wait.
Oh, yeah.
That's it.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience. And it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had. And the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day. And everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All The Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-Bone at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-Bone.